So we're up to Hemshech Chayim Beis. We're in volume 1, and we're up to chapter 128, page 247. This is really like Masechta Beis, second Masechta Chayim Beis. Discourse 32, Shavuos. So it's already like the under half, the second half of Ayin Gimel. But I wanted to, before we continue, he was summing up in the last chapter really the bulk of the discussion in the all the chapters, earlier chapters. I just wanted to say something because I had a little epiphany over Shabbos. I was learning it again, trying to get the clarity. So he's basically discussing, he says it several times, that there's essentially two flows of energy from the divine. For existence to be, there's two flows. One is, he calls Er HaGvul, Mamala, Pnimi, Hamshacha, he calls it Hamshacha B'chinis Mida, Gvul Mida. So think of that as the artist with a Kav Hamida, a instrument shaping the details, because God wants a detailed structured existence, and that needs to be shaped. Then there's another parallel track called the Express Track, and that is a Er HaBligvul. This carries the God's desire. This reveals the divine. This is more of an agent of the divine. It's not defined by details. It's defined by what God wants. In this itself, there are levels. There are levels that are not even called desire yet, because you even can't call it even a Ratzon, because Ratzon already is a description. So you call it Hamshacha of Ein Sof Hamshacha. That's the general gist. Then he broke it into a third level. That in the Ein Sof itself, there's a level that is commensurate to the Pnimi. It's like the Ratzon that speaks to the Pnimi. So you have the Bli Gvul speaking to the Gvul. And then there's a level of the Bli Gvul that's somewhat more detached. But that too is also, so you have that part of the picture. So you basically have three levels. But the interesting thing is that when he concludes in the last Maimer, he says there are three levels in Keser, the three meanings in Keser. The first meaning being silence, or the way he put it was anticipation, hakava, refrain and anticipation was one. And that's included in silence. The second is Keser Atara, like a crown on top of the head. And the third is how it surrounds Atzilus. So he spoke in Makif itself, in the Bli Gvul itself, in the desire, you have the one that's closest to Gvul, that's when it surrounds. That's like the 620 pillars. Then you have the Keser Atara, is like the crown on top of the head. That's more already you can't call it, it's like unconscious. It's like, right, it's something that is fits into structure. It doesn't fit into structure, but it's also not beyond completely. And then you have the level that we call Etzema Er. It's completely concealed. An example he gave for it was that there is a there's like in the Nefesh, you have the Koyches Gluyim, the faculties. You have the Koyches Nalamim, which are like the hidden faculties. They're not yet conscious, but they're already defined faculties. Then they are the way they are in the Nefesh. And there they're carried, and they don't have any shape and form. They're carried in the Nefesh. But the interesting thing is, if you look at it, there's really, speaking the three levels, two ways. One is how Gvul leads to Bli Gvul, and one is how Bli Gvul leads to Gvul. And the three replay themselves very similarly, but they're from a different perspective. The Gvul leads to Bli Gvul is that there's a structured existence, like I said, Pnimi, what we call Misper. It leads you, Sphira, to the word Sippur, tells you a story. And that leads you to a certain clarity and brightness, Sphira from the word Behirus and Evan Sapir. That's how Gvul climbs. But the fascinating thing is that there's also within the Bli Gvul, as it descends, also goes through three similar levels. But there it becomes the other way around. Sphira begins first with Behirus. First is transparency, complete revelation, divine revelation. Then it begins to develop what's called a desire. Then comes a conscious desire for Gvul. So you see, so Bli Gvul is, and God made it, the beautiful part of it is that God made that the three exist both within so-called the desire level, and the three exist also in the structural level. So their meaning is a very fascinating meaning because they have similarities. So in the structural level, the highest is the 10 hidden spheres. 10 hidden spheres is the highest root you can find for structure. But the 10 hidden spheres are within the God, in the God's consciousness, in the God, in divine consciousness. Then the 10 hidden spheres is a tzimtzum and they become the kav. The kav becomes more defined, but it's still very amorphous. And then they become the keches gluyim, where you see them, eres bekelim in atzilus. In the desire level, esesher zagnusis is the bottom of the rung. It's the lowest level where the desire is already now manifesting in 10. But higher than that is spheres ein ketz, infinite spheres. And higher than that is not even infinite spheres, you can't even call them spheres. You see what's going on here? If you think about it, it's an unbelievably eloquent structure here. So if, even when you climb the first three, you're just ending up at the bottom of the next three. Leads you in Bli Gvul itself, there's like levels. Am I being clear? And I see when I was learning it, that's very, very clear. That's why it's not a contradiction where it says in one place he says Atik has spheres. Another place he says Atik is removed from spheres. Depends what you're talking about. If you're talking about Atik, as in the 10 hidden spheres, is the Atik of Arich, of Ak, Adam, Kadmon, then it's an Atik that is beyond, but it's still 10 spheres, 10 hidden spheres. If you're talking about the Atik in its root, then you're talking about a level that's beyond the even Hispashtu Sa'er, it's Etzema Er, then... So basically what we have here is like six steps, if not more, but six steps at least, in how... That's the beep?
No.
Oh. Six steps in how one actually creates full integration. So the Bli Gvul sees Gvul, and the Gvul sees Bli Gvul. I mean, this to me, talk about physics, if there were some master physicists and even psychologists, this could become a model. Because they don't go that far. They talk a little about how beyond... You know, here you have like really three steps in Bli Gvul, how it gets closer to Gvul, and how Gvul gets closer to Bli Gvul. And they're very tangible. Tangible. As in, you could talk about them. That was one key thing I wanted to just add to the equation that had just began to emerge as I'm reading again and again the discussion here. And it's fascinating because he begins with spheres. First he starts with number, story, and gets to behiras, but there he's talking about containers revealing energy, and energy revealing higher energy, even to Bli Gvul. And then suddenly he says, but the real behiras is in Bli Gvul. And then he works his way down and says, in that there's three levels in Keser. There's the Bli Gvul, the real Bli Gvul, that's just pure energy, field of energy. Then there's a Bli Gvul who's beginning to have a desire. And then there's a desire that becomes the source for actually the Gvul. So, in other words, he finds them in the artist. In the artist's Bli Gvul, he's finding already the roots of Gvul, so to speak. But remember, at the end of the day, it's about understanding that Gvul, that we understand Gvul as in parameters. It's this and not that. From a divine perspective, it's simply God's desire that it should have structure. So in other words, it's really a Bli Gvul just choosing to manifest in Gvul, as opposed to just a Gvul trying to find some relief.
But what's the epiphany that you had yesterday? Because always this ladder, we could always go up and down. So
the epiphany I had was epiphany. It's when you read it closely, he's speaking about the same three levels in Bli Gvul and in Gvul. That's the beauty of it. Yeah. So in other words, I'll tell you what. I'll talk in psychological terms. We talked about darkness before. Let me say the following. What's the extent of empathy that a person can have to another person? So you can make an argument that it's quite limited. Can I really get you? I can get part of you. I can get a part of you that I identify with that I went through myself. You know? If I never experience something you experience, it's probably going to be harder for me to identify with. Now, we know what it is with Bittl. You can go out of yourself and look at somebody and just hear what they have to say, even if you never were there. You know? But even the Mittler Rebbe, you know the story, that he had to find it within himself to be able to give advice. One of the most powerful stories I've ever heard. You talk about therapy. That he stopped Yechidus because he couldn't find in him this horrendous thing, even in the most subtle form. And he couldn't continue, because how could I give you advice if I can't find it in me? Just think about that bedside manner. I can't give you advice because I can't find it in me. I mean, people giving advice all day, they can't find it in them. They think they're just brilliant. And Rebbe, he could not give advice because he couldn't find it inside of himself. To me, that's mind-blowing. Number one is the level of empathy. Number one, the level of bittle. The lack of, you know, the Rebbe knew he was not a smart man. He knew he was wiser than people. He can give advice even if he doesn't find it inside of him. You know, he's smart enough. He's objective. And yet, that type of connection, you know, your problem is my problem. Not the same level. So you can argue that, or you can argue that empathy goes very, very deep. To me, the real challenge is that, you see, your life, your inner, most intimate part of your life, which you probably can't even identify yourself. None of us can identify our deepest. It's beyond expression. It says, liba lepuma legalia, that our heart cannot be expressed in our lips, in our mouths. So, if Bli Gvul has in it elements of Gvul, it creates a whole different relationship between two people. That means I can connect to the places in you that are completely unconscious, even to you. Because you have it, you see what I'm saying? I'm trying to find the exact words.
Divine empathy.
Divine empathy, but also that it's not just mutually exclusive worlds. Bli Gvul is here, Gvul is here. And they're going to come to a point. But the whole thing is structured that the Bli Gvul itself, you know, I took the example of the artist. You look at a piece of art, beautiful piece of art, you study the details, and it starts telling you a story, and you can go a certain depth. You can come to understand the artist, the author. I don't know whether he's anti-Semitic or not, but whatever. You can get to understand him to some extent. But then there's the artist, how he sees the painting. He suddenly walks into the room. We've been all sitting and analyzing it. And we say, what did you mean when you said this? So he starts speaking. And some of it we may have even intuited. You know, we may have gotten. But obviously he's going to say a lot more because there are things he knows. But then you're suddenly going to see this artist has in him trillion, infinite more pieces of art, more stories that he hasn't told. And did he embed it in this art? And the answer is yes, he embedded it into this art. Because the Bli Gvul of Elikus is inside the Gvul there somewhere. And the Gvul is inside the Bli Gvul. It's not just he sent you one little package of 10 spheres and that's it. Figure it out. That's also pretty good. And that's it. He's no. In there, you got all those levels. And when you go to the other higher levels, they have all the lower levels. It's just a very fascinating interface that really is, what word I'm trying to use, it's like all over the place. It's intertwined. Everything is everywhere. Connectivity. Real hiskalosis. You don't mean incongruity.
No, that's the opposite. No, right. Interconclusive.
Intertwined. It's like a hologram. So it's fascinating. And what I didn't realize was I always knew that it was in the Gvul you can find the Bli Gvul, but in the Bli Gvul you can find the Gvul. That's, to me, it's like even more spelled out here than anywhere. That in Kesser, in other words, I can go into your infinite desire, mm-hmm. so we're in the essence of your soul, and you, I mean, let's talk from God, and at some stage you're going to manifest into whatever this distinct thing you're going to be doing, evolve from a place that was not so distinct, to the point that it's all the way up to place that's complete etzem. So in other words, it's not a jump just from etzem to here. There's a process, and once there's a process, you can recreate that process. You can retrace the steps. That's the beauty of it. That's why it's a real model. If he didn't do it that way, if he just said, you know what, here's your ceiling, esses sphere sagnuzis, from here on, it's on faith, or you can't enter. No, it's all the way through and through. That's the beauty of it.
I don't know if you're open to this, but where I'm holding back here, he talks about the Eitz Chaim and says, why did he have to make the Tzimtzum? Right? In other words, why did he have to make Mistalat the Maila? He could have just reduced the light.
Right, right.
I think that's what you're talking about. And then we get into his Talpas also. That Etzim is permeating all the details.
Well, yeah. One aspect, yeah. He says it several places. His answer there is because of the Kalim, right? Because of the Kalim. Yeah, then it speaks about how the Tzimtzum B'derech Miut and Siluk, yeah. It's very relevant. It's all relevant. The fascinating thing that people come to realize, everyone thinks that Tzimtzum was because Atzmus is so real, nothing can exist in his presence. That's not at all accurate. Atzmus is so real, he can exist in any presence. There's no presence. Sheker, I mean, there's nothing. There's no. The interesting thing is that Tzimtzum is the greatest testimony for Achdus between us and the infinite light, because the infinite light contradicts us. That means we already have a relationship.
Right.
See, with Atzmus, there's no relationship. There's no contradictions. The fact that the Aryan Sof, that if it was here, we wouldn't be able to exist, is the best sign that we can have a relationship with it, because we're already having a relationship by the fact that we can't coexist initially. Then as you broaden the channels, you could coexist. See what I'm saying?
No, I didn't feel
it's like a paradox.
It's clear, logically.
If you and I were completely shalei barach to one another, we could be in the same room and there's no problem. The mere fact that you need a tzimtzum in Aryan Sof tells you Aryan Sof has a relationship with existence, but only by concealing it. So we're going to learn this soon, that Aryan Habligvul, the mere fact is because of existence too.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's not a necessary force to create existence, it's there for the purpose of existence. So existence should be able to get beyond itself. Because the real challenge is this: can you connect to the infinite without compromising your parameters? That's the big dilemma here. Because either or, it's infinite or finite. And the answer is, you have both. The real reason is because there's a level that's beyond both. But even in existence it makes sense. You know why? Because, as I just said, because if the finite has within it infinite elements, and the infinite has within it finite elements, then you could do it. But you need to have conditions to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, bittul is the key, because as long as you are trapped in your self-perception, that's maybe why Hashem says to Moshe, you can't see me and live. As long as you want, as long as I am there. So the interesting thing is, real integration happens when you stop saying, I want it. Then it happens, and you still remain intact.
Shtika.
As soon as you say, I'm here, oh, you're here? Okay, so you define, you tell me what terms you like, and then we go from there. That's good, yeah. That's very good. Like I was telling somebody yesterday, I said, so he said to me, you got a bracha from the Rebbe for this, for that, be wealthy, it's not working. So I said, I said to him, so what happened? So he said to me, I told the Rebbe what I wanted. And the Rebbe said to me, do you want a bracha or you want an etzah? So then the Rebbe said, when you get a bracha and an etzah, the bracha is better. You know, the bracha is more solid. If you get a bracha without an etzah, it's a bracha on your terms, basically. Anyway, that's more or less. So I said to him, so in other words, you didn't come into the Rebbe and say, listen, Rebbe, you're Emes Lamitei, and just tell me what to do, and I'll do it. I'm bucket to you completely. You came to the Rebbe and said, I want to be wealthy. And once I have wealth, I'm going to give you a lot of money to tzedakah, to you, etc. Right? So you came with that tzir. You wanted the Rebbe to fit into your tzir. So I said, so you believe in the Rebbe's bracha, right? Yeah. So I said, but you don't believe in the Rebbe, in being mavat your tzir to him? In other words, you want his bracha on your terms? Isn't that a little... So I said, I have no problem. I understand people have ulterior motives and so on, but you understand you're limiting the flow. So the Rebbe was saying was that you can get all of me if you just stop asking for what you think you need. Maybe what you really need is not what you think you need. You know? Now, of course, it's a higher level of bittul, but it makes sense. Some people want, like, so you believe in the bracha. And I know, this the Rebbe didn't tell him, but I know the Rebbe told other people, like he said, what are you waiting till you become wealthy and give tzedakah? Business is built on risk, and return is based on the higher the risk. And I can guarantee it's not a risk. But chanunin abezais, you know? Why don't you make God your partner and start giving the tzedakah, and therefore God will have to give you the money that he needs. But Rebbe was basically saying, if you really believe in the bracha, so why, you have to wait only after you get the money, then you start believing in the bracha. You know? You get the money, then I'll give the tzedakah. You give the tzedakah, and then you'll get the money. Anyway, it's just different levels of bittul, I guess. The beauty is like this, that you can have gvul and bligvul together, but you cannot take yourself too seriously, or you're in trouble. How's that for a lesson in life? So, we learn inside. I don't know. I mean, we keep on Kuf Chav Ches. Okay, we'll learn a few lines. Why not? Or well, more than a few lines. What time do we have?
We have plenty of time.
Huh?
It's early. You guys have
to. Okay, we'll learn something. Okay.
One.
That makes me laugh. So what's that?
No, meaning he can learn until 1:30 because he wants to go to the Levi.
Who's the?
Thank God there's Levi, is he saying, or else he'd be here all day? Not for this. You know, you remind me of someone. Someone was going on and on, and it was Shabbos, and someone says Shabbos is it's late. You know, Shabbos is about to end. He says it's too early for next Shabbos yet. In other words. So now he just finished discussing the three levels that I just mentioned in the nefesh. So the keches klonim be'etzem nefesh. They're exactly like the nefesh. They're pshitas. They're shapeless. Then there's how they become revealed, but they're still concealed from the revealed faculties. And then there's how they're revealed. And hamshach habeis, the second track is ein sof. He says this does not have a purpose in existence. It's only to reveal the divine. So he says, "V'hini yesh lahavim b'zeh." We have to understand this. V'aloya ha'oyer shu'b'chinus gilim ne'etzim v'adei shu'gamkin l'tzedech eze kavona. Isn't this energy that's a gilim ne'etzim? It's surely also for some purpose. Because Atzmus Yisbarach is not compelled the Giluyim to be revealed from him, that there should be revelations from him in any way. He doesn't need to reveal himself. Like we learned earlier, chapter 56, the Hamoshel De'er V'ziv HaShemesh, that the example of the light and reflection of the sun, Einu Mechuvan Kol Kach Le'inyan Erein Sof, is not that fitting, not that appropriate to Ein Sof Bezesh Hashemesh Mukhrech Ba'Gilir Memenu, because the sun is compelled to give off light. The sun is compelled that there should be a Gilir from it, that the light should come out of it. Why? Because the sun was created. L'hoyin al-Oretz. Sun cannot control that. U'mechuvin Yesod, we learned earlier, Amoshel De'er V'chayis HaNefesh. Is more fitting to this aspect of the example is the Erev Chayis HaNefesh, the light and energy of the life, the energy and life force of the soul, because that's not a Gili HaKharachi, as he explained there. The soul does not have to give off, does not have to energize. V'imkein HaGili Min HaAtzmus U'Be'ezek Kavonah. So since there is Eir Ein Sof, even the Eir Ein Sof that we said before is not for a specific purpose to shape the art, to shape the 10 spheres. Since he's not mukhrech in it, so you have to say that what reason is there? There's a reason. Ubeiz a kavanah, is a gamkin l'tzeirech elmas. And what other kavanah could there be? It means it's also in order for the worlds. What other reason is there? So some way, even the actual revelation, just the mere fact that it reveals the source, is also for a purpose for the worlds. So the echu b'chin is gili min ha'atzim. So how is that consistent with what he said before? That it's all it is revealing, expressing the source. Now think about it, talked about personally. Let's think personally what it means. It means, let's talk in Aveda. In Aveda you could say, is there really such a thing as doing something for no motive at all? You could say it's for God, that's also a motive. So it's not just for me, it's for God. So to say something is pure gili min ha'atzim, just the reflection of the source, without anything, doesn't seem possible. It seems like a contradiction of terms. Because the etzim doesn't need the gili min ha'atzim. So then, why is it there? That means it's something for lower worlds. And then how could you call it gili min ha'atzim? You know, we use the example of department heads. The king runs a whole kingdom. He has a chief of staff. All his role is to share, express what the king wants today. So the king in the morning sits down with him and says, okay, today I want a group, a team to go dig wells, another team to go sow the fields, another team to write up some of the decrees, another team to go to war. So he goes to each of these teams and tells the team head, you go dig well, and that person's expertise is digging wells. The chief of staff, all his role is just conveying the will of the king. It doesn't matter whether it's brushing his teeth or serving the food or digging wells or bringing the whole kingdom to another level. He's gili ha'etzem, he's gili of the mukher. Now, if the mukher doesn't need a gili at all, then the question is, what is the role of this chief of staff? At the end of the day, it's true, he's oblivious of the details, but his mere existence is already a sign that it's for a purpose, because he's going to speak to the others to do what they got to do. So good, so he's detached from them. So that's what he's saying. If it's gili min ha'etzem, pure gili min ha'etzem, then he should be completely detached. There should be no relationship with anything. But that's not, that doesn't exist, because God doesn't need a chief of staff if he doesn't achieve anything. What does he need it for? On the other hand, once he's there, he has to have some purpose. So then how do you really call it gili min ha'etzem? Basically, we're trying to find a level here that's expression of complete divine and also has some function in existence. So the interesting answer is going to be that its function is to create bittul of existence. Because if its function is to help create existence, then its back, then its primary role is shape and form. If its function is to create bittul in existence, then it has an element of gili min ha'etzem. You see? That's the beauty of this. So it's not another step in the way of a process of creating, it's also a process of elevating the whole existence to a divine level. Give me a taste of the answer, but that's the gist of it. So the answer is, however the answer is, this is for sure, that the revelation is a willing one, it's willed. Who b'shvila is a kavana, and it's for some purpose. However, the kavani here is not the creation of the structure of the world, but that there should be a gili of the divine in the world. In other words, why doesn't the king go and straight to the chief, the heads of each department? Because if that happens, they may lose connection to the king. The chief of staff is what is the so-called controller of quality control that keeps them all in check. You follow? So Eirin Sof, its inyan is gili elikus b'elmos yibam b'chinas habitl, and they should have within them bitl. Shai dezen nish yushlem hakavon and dinisav hakadosh baruch hu lis deidere utachteinim. Because through this, the intention, the purpose is fulfilled, that there should be a, that God desired there should be a deidere utachteinim. You follow what he's saying here? In other words, its purpose is the opposite of the purpose of Eir HaGvul. Eir HaGvul's purpose is to give substance and credence to existence. And this air, its purpose is to elevate existence that should be revealing the God within it. If there was no air in Sefer HaBligvul, we would have an existence, but it would not recognize in the full sense of the word what God, real godliness. It would recognize it in a limited way.
Alovin
conceals it. But it would recognize it in a limited way, and this allows it to recognize it in a full sense of the word. Yeah. So it's a gift that God is saying through Gili Etzem, I'm showing you what I'm like. I'm not just showing you what I created. I'm not just showing you what I'm like within your structure. I'm showing you what I'm like on my own. Isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. It's a real relationship. Real relationship.
Mm. We said that's something we can't even talk about. It's not even talkable.
We can't, but God still wants to reveal that part of Him too. We can't. We talk about it through the gili min ha'etzem. Correct.
Ultimately, to get to His inner personality, His inner essence.
Yeah, even that He wanted to be revealed.
He does.
Doesn't have to reveal it, and it's fundamental. Let's put it this way: you can't talk about it because you could. As soon as you talk, you're talking about gili, but there's a gili min ha'etzem as opposed to a gili. Look, you have someone working for you. You're going to be telling them what you want them to do today. Your son is going to come talk to you. You're going to show him a lot more of yourself. I'm just using it as a small example. So there you're revealing, so your real etzem is beyond. But you're going to reveal a bigger, much part of your, much more of your etzem to someone you are very close to. Whereas a worker, you're only going to show him what you need to show him. He doesn't need to know who you are.
You don't show him both set of books.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just, that's as an example. On a deeper level, ultimately, we do learn that Atzmus ultimately wants Satir B'Tachtenim. And though we can't talk about Atzmus, but Atzmus wanted to manifest himself in Eir. That's the Chiddush of the Alter Rebbe, by the way. That Eir becomes the channel for Atzmus's expression to us. But Etzem Eir is also a pretty nice level. Remember, Eir is not an independent entity. It's revealing the Etzem. It's just telling you that there's more to the Etzem than I am. And Yesh, by the way, fills in the second half. Because the Yesh tells us that there's things in Atzmus the Eir can't even ever reveal. And the Eir reveals that as well. You follow what I just said? So, it's a lot going on.
So Yesh is the part that revealed it all, but the Or reveals that as well.
Because of its bittle, because it's so bottle. So it's like where they just make a joke about certain people, that they can explain something to others that they themselves don't understand. You get, because if you're really bottle, I'm just repeating what the king said. And you say, oh, that's what he said? You say, yeah. Why are you so excited? Because you get it, but he doesn't get it. The guy who's giving it to you doesn't get it, because he just is a loyal messenger. That's one thing. So, Yesh reveals a part of Atzmus Eir can never reveal.
That's for sure.
Huh?
That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, but the Eir reveals that too. Because Yesh on its own is not a revelatory force. It's just an entity. We can learn much about Atzmus from existence, but it doesn't begin. You don't start, I'm going to learn about Atzmus. First learn step by step. As you go up the ladder, you're going to get more and more. It's all about climbing.
Right,
you know?
So getting back here to energy and matter.
Yeah.
Because Or is energy, as you like to type it, Or and matter.
Fine.
So there's energy in the matter, which we know, Einstein. In the energy, there's also matter within the energy.
Yes, absolutely.
And there's a third level that is beyond
energy and matter
at all.
Yeah.
And we have the ability to unify with that.
Yes, you can. And matter has something that energy doesn't have. The mere fact, I mean, we call it reversible energy and matter. But we would not say that matter is just an illusion and it's just energy in the form of matter. We'd say the fact that it has the ability to manifest as a yesh, that can almost, that denies that it has energy, comes from a source that's higher than energy. That's the chiddush of the Alter Rebbe, the last days before. That's a Geras HaKodesh. That's one of the big chiddushim of Geras HaKodesh Simen Chaf.
Yes.
Unbelievable chiddush, by the way. Because nobody ever looked at it. Everyone saw Yesh
as
being a negative.
Denial.
Like you're selfish. You're arrogant. So you think you're a narcissist.
Right.
Yesh is narcissism.
Right.
The Alter Rebbe said the mere fact that you can feel that you don't have a creator, that nothing made you, comes from a place of Atzmus that nothing created it. That's what he says. It's pretty wild. I'm telling you, it's pretty wild. And nobody ever even would even... you need to have it turns everything upside down.
So in that sense, one second, it does not equal matter.
Yeah,
there's
something higher than Einstein.
Matter, it's true. That's
correct.
Not an energy.
It's beyond Einstein.
Something spooky.
Here, Alter. You got it. Alter Rebbe beyond Einstein.
Alter Rebbe beyond Einstein.
But no, Einstein said there's something spooky with quantum. That's what he's talking about.
I wonder where these notes go. That's what I keep wondering. I hope it doesn't go into the incinerator.
No, Alter Rebbe beyond Einstein.
Yes.
We should learn that.
Beyond Einstein.
We should learn it together.
Beyond Alter.
It's very hard. It's a complicated one. But you can learn it.
Yeah,
it's extremely, and he keeps quoting it. It's quoted again and again and again.
Yeah, the spookiness.
The interesting thing, the Alter Rebbe is,
but it's beyond quantum also.
As the years rolled on with Alter Rebbe, he went more and more to the shita that Eir has gvul and kelim are gvul. As the Alter Rebbe developed Chassidus Chabad, I'm developing this theory recently myself. As he's developing Chassidus Chabad, he's moving more into appreciating the gvul of Eilim, as opposed to seeing it as
negative.
Not only a negative, seeing it maybe that the really the gvul is only the tzir, not really the fundamental. It's more and more. Yeah, the Alter Rebbe, I would say, began more, much more with the theories of Chabad as being wave. And then he moves to being much more particle. And the Rebbe Shab also like this. Samach Vov is more wave, and ion beza is more particle. But the particle is connected to the wave.
There's also something back clear around
wave particle.
In my mind about this, the myla of the particle. He says that on the one hand, auras want to cling to them, they don't really want to come out. But he says, so why do that? Because ultimately they know that their source is higher than their source.
Yeah, beautiful, right?
They want to be mislav. They really do want to be mislavish in kaling, but it's because the kaling are rooted even higher.
The air senses in the kaling something the kaling doesn't sense itself.
Yeah.
That they're rooted. Yes, it's not the first place it says it, but that's fine.
When you see it for the first time,
it's straight from the Alter Rebbe, by the way. That's the Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe's mind was beyond. He used a mind that was, and with the beauty of it is all Torah. He didn't bring any chutz. You know, it's not like he's going to reconcile it with science. From the Rebbe, Alter Rebbe, it's a pure Torah approach. I think the Alter Rebbe has not been revealed yet to the world. No.
That's for sure.
What?
Alter Rebbe has not been revealed to the world yet.
Tomorrow night?
I'm on if you're on.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think we'll stop here. I'm going to go one more line. So the bottom line is it's a Gili Ritzeni, the Bligvul. And it does have a purpose. The purpose is that there should be a revelation of the divine in existence, and through this there should be bitla elamis. And that's why the gili is gili min ha'atzim, shukumay ha'atzim. Because if the gili was commensurate to the worlds and tailored, then it wouldn't be creating a gili or a bitl. Meaning that it's ein sof. Go that way, go that way. And Gligul Mamash, that means it's Ayin Be'etzim Hussein. It's Ayin in fundamental personality. This is Va'inyin Hu. We'll learn this. We'll stop here. So it's the beginning of chapter 128, page 247. I couldn't stop right in perfect timing as the children take over.